The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio and the Buckmaster Show, Wednesday, October the 16th, 2019. Happy birthday to the love of my life. Anne, you are simply the best. Hope you have a great birthday. We'll celebrate for sure in style this weekend. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're with you Monday through Friday during the noon hour, have been since the first week of 2011, so we keep it going as we push now toward our 9 full year anniversary at the end of the year and then begin year number 10. Podcasts available 24/7, buckmastershow.com. Live line number 790-2040. Let's get on the live line right now and talk with Pima County Supervisor, District Number 3, Democrat Sharon Bronson. Sharon, how are you?
I am doing fine, Bill. Liking the weather kind of cooling down a bit. How about you?
Doing well. I can wait for that a little more cooling to go get things going. But let's begin with this the alignment on this Interstate 11, proposed Interstate 11, which would highway from Nogales to Wickenburg and eventually beyond to Kingman. It seems there are very few allies to this thing. Governor Ducey likes it. The Arizona Chamber of Commerce likes it, but few here in Southern Arizona, including environmentalists and even conservative Republican lawmakers, are on the same side on this, saying it's not the right deal for Tucson. What do you think?
Well, I think that the board, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, in 2007 passed a resolution in opposition to one of the alignments that goes through Avar Valley, and the concern were environmental concerns because it was going through some habitat. So we've expressed that, and unless those concerns can be mitigated, the board voted unanimously to oppose that particular alignment. But the other alignment alternative, if we're looking in the Tucson area, is on I-10 and just double-decking it and through downtown. And the havoc that would wreak during the construction phase is certainly a concern. And what it would do, the noise, particularly the noise issues it would cause for those who are living near that improvement, have not been sufficiently addressed. And I think on the Republican side of it, I think everybody, we can't fix our roads now. We don't have enough. There isn't sufficient funding. So how are we going to be able to fund something of this magnitude looking into the future if we can't take care of the roads we currently are driving? So
are we getting any money in the in the budget for some road repairs this fiscal year?
We have put some the money, the HERF revenues, of course, will be available. And as the HERF revenue bonds decline, paying back those bonds, more money will be freed up for our maintenance. But we are spending some general fund dollars as well and proposing perhaps spending, taking some of our fund balance and spending that in road maintenance, particularly directing it to subdivision streets as we spend most of our HERF revenues on major arterials and connectors, but we need to start repairing those subdivision streets. So we will be allocating some additional funds from the general fund to those internal subdivision roads.
Sharon Bronson is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line on 1030 The Voice, Southern Arizona's trusted source for news talk. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. I haven't had an update lately on how the transition has gone from the one-time Benedictine monastery, which was the home of hundreds of migrants. I guess it would be thousands of migrants actually came through there in that six-month period, transition to the an area of the county juvenile facility that was not being utilized. Is that a month or 6 weeks already into this?
It is, and it's going really well. It's a terrific transition, a terrific partnership with Catholic Social Services. I think everybody is pleased with the outcome. And the reason we had to do this, as you know, is there was a significant increase in asylum seekers released in Pima County earlier this year, and that was not of our making, and that was federal policy, essentially driven by federal policy, but it was our reality to deal with, and it's a humanitarian issue, both in Pima, well, in all the border counties. So we're looking now that we've made the transition to the farmer juvenile facility. We are looking to our state and federal partners for assistance in providing the funding through appropriate grants, since it's federal policy that brought us to this point.
Well, we haven't heard any complaint. Well, I haven't. It's kind of been under the radar screen, and I guess that's a good thing, right?
Well, that's a good thing, exactly. I mean, there haven't been complaints. The transition has been terrific. It's been smooth. We were expecting more bumps in the process, but it has just gone very, very well. And part of that is because of all the volunteers that are here in this community helping make that work. And we've just had such terrific support from our residents. And kudos to them, and kudos to Catholic Social Services for help for doing this. I mean, this is a true humanitarian effort, and it is not driven by the public sector, but it's being driven by the community. And we owe the Catholic Social Services thanks for all those efforts, because without them, this would not have happened.
All right, we're going to take our break a couple of minutes early here. When we come back, I guarantee Sharon will have a better line for us, because this has happened before with the landlines out of the county building. For whatever reason, it kind of breaks up. So we're going to get Sharon on a cell here after the break. But it is Buckmaster on Midweek Edition 1030, The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. Ray, let's talk about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. This is a great getaway. The temperature is always, just about always, cooler. We've been monitoring it 10, sometimes 20 degrees cooler during the midday portion over in Silver City. So if you're looking for a great weekend getaway, this would be it. How about a 3-hour drive? That's hardly anything. Over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Over in New Mexico, lots to do. Great places to stay, great places to eat, good starting place, easy enough. SouthwestNewMexico.org. It's Buckmaster on the midday portion. Back with Sharon Bronson. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
And speaking of Green Things, we're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I always go over to Green Things for all of my plants. And of course, Zocalo is a wonderful addition. Many of you may remember Zocalo over near Country Club and Broadway for years. Very respected, high quality merchandise shop with great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. They've transitioned to the 13-acre site at Green Things, five shops there, now composing Zocalo Village, so you can get all of your green things and your great items from, many of them handcrafted, Mexico, Latin America, and Europe, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fent Park. All right, let's resume now our conversation with Pima County District 3 Democrat Sharon Bronson on the Board of Supervisors, who joins us now on the live line. Sharon, I think we've got a better connection with you.
That's what I'm told.
There you go. I can tell right away.
Okay, great.
I don't want to call it a crisis, but it seems like a lot of animals at the Pima Animal Care Center, over 100, were taken in just yesterday. And then this week, there was an influx of chickens. So what the heck is going on?
Well, what the heck is going on is heck is because of that influx. Flux is offering $5 a cluck sale this weekend for the chickens. There are about 60 chickens that we were brought in. 10 are available now, and people interested in adopting one of the chickens can come. We're asking them, it's a first come, first serve situation, and they can adopt up to five chickens, but they need to bring their own carrier.
Mm. And this was from was this from an individual or?
Yes. Mm. The owner surrendered them to the shelter. And again, as I said, a total of around 60 hens and roosters. And again, at $5 a cluck. So
there you go.
If you want a cluck, come in and bring your own carrier, and you can pick up to five chickens should you so desire.
There are, let's see, close to 800 now pets available for adoption at the shelter. I don't know if they're including the chickens in that group.
No, the chickens are not included.
Oh, yeah. All right. So,
we've got almost 800 pets available, and we have another almost 900 in foster care looking for homes. So, anyone looking to adopt a dog or a cat, and I think you already know this, Bill, we at PAC, Pima Animal Care, participating in this weekend, the 18th through the 20th, over the weekend, we're participating in what we're calling Tucson Shelters United, and it's a mega adoption event. And the Hermitage and the Humane Society are also participating. All three shelters are going to be offering half-off adoption for the entire weekend. So if you're interested in adopting, now is the time to do it. And a big shout-out, actually, the reason we are able to do this event with all the sponsors is because there was a grant that Petco Foundation and Skechers gave us. It's a $25,000 grant. So we're trying, between the three shelters, to make sure that we adopt at least 600 pets this weekend. weekend. So if you're interested, I mean, we're working with the Hermitage and the Humane Society. Please come in. They're all, it's half off, and let's see if we can hit that 600 goal.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. You know, we haven't talked about fosters, and I know, you know, we were just talking about nearly 800 pets are available right now at Pima Animal Care at the shelter. There are nearly 900 animals in foster care also looking for homes. Boy, we have really, and kudos to all of the people at Pima Animal Care, starting with Kristen over there, we have developed this incredible foster care network that is now like a lifeline to help out for the shelter.
Absolutely, and we would not be able to get these animals adopted if it were not for our fosters. So they deserve our support and our kudos. And I mean, you're talking with us almost 800 pets, but adoptable pets, you know, in the region, we're over 2,000. So again, I think that right before your show, there was a show and they were talking about how a dog or a cat can help you live longer. So let's, if you want to live longer, adopt a pet this weekend. How about that?
Yeah, that was on the show that precedes us, the Doug VJ show. And they were talking with that vet who said that people who've had a heart attack, they're going to live 25% longer after a heart attack if they come home to a dog or a cat in the house. That's pretty amazing.
It is. And there's nothing more soothing than being able to sit there and when quietly and pet your pet.
How do you like this Pima County abolishing that contentious law enforcement review board that was known as the Community Law Enforcement Partnership Commission, the acronym CLEPSI? Now this has been dissolved by you and your colleagues. Now there will be the sheriff will have his own advisory board. Do you think this is worth a try?
Oh, I think yes. The Sheriff Community Advisory Committee or Commission—no, I guess it's committee—I think is very much worth a try. And what Sheriff Napier is trying to do is engage the community and reach out to group of community leaders through the formation of this FARMO group, which is going to be meeting once monthly, I think, starting in January. And what he's looking to do is work with this council to be able to understand what community concerns are and how to gain community trust and communicate better with the residents of Pima County. So I'm happy that farming this, and it'll be in compliance with open meeting laws as applicable. So if anybody is interested, I think you can go to the sheriff's website or you can find it on Facebook. They're taking letters of interest. There's a form you can fill out, and if you are interested at all in working with law enforcement to make our community safer and to share your concerns and to make our law enforcement more effective and compassionate in delivering public safety services to everybody, then I would hope that those of you who are listening would go online and fill out that form to show your interest. And again, the sheriff will be making the selection, and there will be 12 members, and they will be meeting monthly either with the sheriff or someone he designates. And, you know, he is trying to reach out and find out what community concerns are and then correct them so that our community can be safer and they can trust in law enforcement.
You're going to see more sheriff's deputies out there at the increasing traffic patrols. The sheriff has received through an initiative, there'll be some money to the deployment is in this initiative that's based on statistics that they've been looking at. So they're going to hopefully, you'll see more deputies out there looking for violations, Sharon Bronson, involving pedestrians at intersection. Of course, this has been a huge issue here in town. The unfortunate deaths and injuries we've had here in the metro area.
And you're right. It's really at an intersection, people running red light or turning when a pedestrian's in the crosswalk. So I think that, and this is one of the concerns that community community members have addressed to our sheriff's department, and the sheriff's department is now being responsive to those concerns, which is, again, brings us back to this new sheriff citizens advisory committee. These are the kinds of things that we need, that law enforcement need to be made aware of, and it's only through citizen involvement that we can assure that there will be, we can ensure that our community will be made safer. So, I think it's important that people apply, and I'm hoping that given the sheriff's willingness to do this, we're going to have great outcomes.
You know, Barbara Wall announced, this didn't get a lot of publicity, that Barbara Wall is going to step aside. So, we're losing Barbara Wall, we're losing FN Rodriguez, a couple of institutions in Pima County, but that's going to be a very interesting situation that will evolve now in that race for county attorney, because criminal justice reform, I would think, Sharon, will be at the top of the agenda. Wouldn't you agree?
I would hope it's at the top of the agenda because it's at the top of our budget. I can tell you, we spend your tax dollars, 60% of your tax dollars that come out of the primary property tax go in some way to justice and law enforcement, and our community doesn't seem to be getting any safer. We seem to be prosecuting, or our trial rate is soared. Our jail population is going back up. So the old way of doing things is not keeping us safer, and it's costing us quite a few dollars. I think that would be better spent on either fixing our roads, improving our parks, and building and improving our library.
All right. Let's see if I can work Carl in very quickly. Carl, go ahead.
Yes, your comment about cars running red lights and making turns with pedestrians in the crosswalk. It's not always the cars. I've had major problems with pedestrians running against the light that I have, people wearing dark clothing crossing where there aren't crosswalks, and bicyclists without any lights and dark clothing. So it's not just the cars. A lot of this is the pedestrian's fault.
Very good point.
Yeah, that is an excellent point, Carl. And I've seen it too, because I go to the gym early in the morning, and seeing a cyclist dressed in dark clothing, I mean, you don't notice them, and it's still dark out. You don't notice them until you're almost upon them. So yeah, I think it goes both ways. It's drivers running the lights, but pedestrians have to understand that there are rules of the road that they need to abide by.
Yeah, and once again, if people are interested in applying for the sheriff's this new committee. No, what is he calling it? A committee or a commission?
Yeah, it's a. He's calling it a committee, Sheriff Citizens Advisory Committee.
Okay, so folks can apply. There's a short form. They can apply online for that. And I don't really have in front of me how many members there will be. Do you have any idea?
There are 12 members, and okay. They will serve terms of 1 year, and they can, at the pleasure of the sheriff, serve another 12-month term. But they will be meeting monthly. And if people can't find it online, they can always call our office at 724-8051. And we'll be happy to provide them with this membership interest form.
All right. Sharon Bronson, thank you very much. Hope you have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
Sharon Bronson, Pima County Supervisor, with us. Up next, the author of Secret Tucson, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure Tucson. That's coming up in the next segment. Then our final segment today, our historic and Ken Scoville, a rundown to Tucson's haunted houses. So we're going to have some fun in the next 30 minutes on Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's our midweek edition on 1030 The Voice, trusted news talk in Southern Arizona. If you've been around Tucson a while, you know it's weird here. Yeah, but that's what we really love. It's weird, it's wonderful, and there's some really obscure things that I think are worth talking about and worth discovering. And that's where a new book comes in, Secret Tucson, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. The book is presented by Reedy Press. The author is Clark Norton. Clark is the author of 100 Things to Do in Tucson Before You Die. I think we had Clark on a couple of years ago when that book came
out,
right,
Clark? Yes, that's
Clark?
Right, Bill.
So you've been out with that one for a couple of years. It's done very well for you. You also have 15 other travel guidebooks. Clark Norton is an award-winning travel writer. His work has appeared in many major publications and websites, including his blog, ClarkNorton.com, kind of his travel blog. And while he has visited, he's got me beat here. He's visited more than 120 countries, got me beat by maybe 20. He is always glad to get back to Tucson, where he lives with his wife and two hopelessly spoiled cats. Sounds like me. His cats are Rocky and Jake. I believe he told me during the break they're now getting into the advanced senior cat years, 12 years old, right, Clark?
That's right.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really glad to be done with the book. It was a lot of work, but it was fun, too, doing it.
Why this book? I mean, how did this one come about?
A little closer.
Yeah, a little closer. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my publisher had the idea for the book, so I can't claim credit for that. But as soon as I heard the title and the subtitle, I said, that sounds great. That's exactly what I want to do, because who doesn't want to find out about more about their city and the lesser known aspects of where you live? It was a great pleasure to work on this book.
You know, you've been out here for 5 years. What are some of the weird things that you discovered right away about Tucson that kind of jumped out at you, Clark?
Well, it's a city that I think you can drive around and not see that much that seems strange. But when you get below the surface a little bit, that's where it starts to get a little strange, a little weird. For example, if you're driving along in North 4th Avenue and you see the tiki head, 25-ton tiki head sitting there, you may wonder, where did that come from and why is it there? Mm-hmm. Well, it came from the Magic Carpet Golf mini golf course some years ago, and moving it was a huge project that took about 2 years. There's the Paul Bunyan statue
Where did that come from?
That came from San Francisco, and the man who ran a body parts shop brought it down and put it there. And I found it unusual because here is this icon of Northwest or Minnesota forestry in a parking lot in Tucson in the desert.
Yeah, you got to wonder why it is here in the desert.
Yeah, and how it survived all these decades. It's been here for years and years.
You have some movie connections, too, obviously, with old Tucson, but we've had some movies filmed here, and I thought Lee Marvin's home is here, and a lot of people have kind of made a pilgrimage to that site,
yes,
Clark.
Yes, Lee Marvin's home is up in the foothills. It's in an area that's still got unpaved roads on it, but it's a beautiful, beautiful house that was designed by Josias Jessler, a very well-known architect from the 1930s in Tucson.
What's the deal with Stravenue? We've got one right outside the door here.
Yeah, I was interested to see.
Street and avenue, what we call in Tucson a Stravenue. Had you ever heard of that before you came to Tucson?
I had never heard of it. It's actually unique to Tucson.
It is. Wow.
I noticed that there was a 42nd Street Stravenue right here.
Yeah, it's right outside our door.
On the way to the station, which is pretty amazing. And Stravenues are primarily diagonal streets that do not go either directly east-west or north-south. North-south tends to be avenues, and east-west tends to be streets. And if you put them together in a diagonal, you get a Stravenue. Mm. So, and this is absolutely unique to Tucson. It doesn't exist anywhere else.
You know, one thing you talk about is the scientific facility. I've heard this before, but our listeners perhaps haven't. And you talk about it on the book, there is a scientific, cutting-edge scientific facility located in, of all places, in Arizona Stadium.
That's right. It's located beneath the stadium. It's the Karras Mirror Lab. It's a part of the University of Arizona, obviously being below their football stadium. And it's where cutting-edge mirrors for telescopes are made. And these are telescopes that see into the farthest reaches of the universe. And the mirrors are essential for this process. So these are made right here in Tucson below the football stadium, which is pretty amazing.
Give us a few of your personal favorites.
Well, I love the story of the lost gold of the Catalinas, the lost treasure. This began in the late 1600s with Father Kino and the lost Escalante mine, it's called, or the Iron Door mine. And Jesuits, who Father Kino was a member of, came here and gathered a lot of gold, apparently. But in the 18th century, in the 1700s, they were ejected by the Spanish for not paying enough tribute to the King of Spain in gold. So somewhere, it's believed, the Jesuits hid a huge amount of gold in a lost mine.
A lost mine? Huh.
Covered by an iron door.
Wow.
And it's somewhere in the Catalina Mountains. That's what's believed. So treasure hunters tend to flock here from all over the world looking for this mine. So far, it hasn't been found as far as anyone knows, although there were some prospectors in the late 19th century who claimed to find it, and they brought in a bunch of gold nuggets, but probably that was a false alarm because this was supposed to have included a huge amount of gold, huge wealth of gold.
All right, Clark Norton, where can we find out more about your book?
You can find out more about it at my...
Your website?
My website, clarknorton.com. I'm doing an appearance this Saturday, October 19th, at Mostly Books, an independent bookstore on East Speedway, and that's from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. I'm doing an appearance at the National Parks Store, which is north of the city on Vistoso Drive, and that'll be on October 22nd, also at 2 p.m., and I'll be doing some other appearances in November, and you can find them on my website at clarknorton.com.
Okay. The Western National Parks, is that one's Saturday, October 26th?
That's right.
Okay, that's the 26th. All right, Clark Norton, thank you very much. The book, Secret Tucson, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, historian Ken Scoville is next. We'll talk about haunted houses in Tucson and some other things right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back, Buckmaster Show. Midweek edition. Historian Ken Scoville is here. We have so much, Ken, to cover, but I want to start because we've talked in the past about how important the train coming to Tucson is. We got a big boy coming. A big boy, number 4014, was one of 25. First of all, good to see you, Ken.
Good to see you, and I'm very interested,
here
too.
Here you go. Big boy, one of 25 that were built by Union Pacific, UP. Only eight still exist. Number 4014 is the only operating big boy today, still owned by Union Pacific. It's recently been restored. It's on a tour to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad, and Big Boy is scheduled to arrive right here in Tucson 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, Ken, at the historic train depot downtown.
Well, do you know, I felt so bad because it was there at the big 150th centennial in Utah at Promontory Point, and I was so felt so bad I missed that. And now I'm going to find out it's tomorrow. I'm going to have
to readjust
my schedule.
And then it will be on display 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at on Friday, East Silver Lake Road and East Fairlane Stravenue. Here we go again with Stravenue. We were just talking about that at the Union Pacific Yard. So this is going to be really fun. If you're into trains, I know a lot of people I've been seeing on Facebook are actually want to get a nice position, staking out a good position as it comes in into town.
And there'll be a big cloud of smoke.
There's going to be with this big boy. So that's very cool. We've got Halloween coming up. All sorts of places in Tucson are reportedly places that are haunted. One that I think is pretty famous is Hotel Congress.
Right, Hotel Congress. And I sort of wanted to, well, we'll talk about Hotel Congress and I want to go into it. But Shana Osaron, who's the co-owner of the Congress Hotel, that over the years they've had many unexplained occurrences, and two of the more famous ones that a gentleman had checked in with the dog and they went to bed for the night, and then all of a sudden the bathroom door closed on its own, the dog started barking, and it had all this sort of ether going on, and the gentleman got pretty upset, and his dog and the things finally settled down, and then the next morning all the towels in the bathroom were stuffed in the toilet.
Whoa.
And then there was another report where another person's room, and I don't know exactly which room it is, maybe the Congress Hotel doesn't want to tell people which room is haunted, but there's somebody appeared and he wouldn't let the other person out of the room and sat on this suitcase all night.
Oh, no.
So there are lots of things.
Oh, my goodness.
But I think all these haunted places, and this is not a topic that I've explored very much, so it was fun for me to do some research. It really ties in with folklore.
Yeah, and Big Jim Griffith.
Big Jim Griffith, and he mentions one of the oldest ones that goes all the way back to the 16th century, and there are different traditions, but they all connect with water. And she's called La Llorona, if I'm pronouncing it right. Mm-hmm. And the woman is always looking for lost children along the riverbank. And in the Tucson version, it was one of her children, and that's why it was carried away in a flood, and she's always looking for him. Hmm. She is characteristically dressed in white and is also called the Wailing Woman.
Huh. I actually remember a segment that Big Jim did, you know, on the TV show on Arizona Illustrated. That was one of his segments about the woman looking for the lost children along the riverbank.
Right. Always connect with water, and you can go any place in the Southwest in that story.
Huh.
The other bigger one that I think, and it's you can go any place in the country and probably even other countries, it's about the hitchhiker. And this is an attractive woman, and people regionalize it for your location. And the version for Tucson, there's this very attractive woman hitchhiking on Grant Road, and this driver picks her up, and he starts visiting with her and having a good conversation. And then he says, oh, I was going on to the west side to a ballroom for a dance. Would you like to join me? And she says, oh, sure. So they are driving over there, and they get the ballroom, and they're having a really good time, and they're dancing. But he notices her hands are really just ice cold.
Huh.
And he mentions it to her, and she says, doesn't say anything, but she smiles. And then a little later, she says, I think it's time for me to go home. They go outside, and she says, it's chilly, and he puts his coat over her shoulders. And he drives her back home, and her home is just a couple blocks off of Grant Road. And anyway, she runs into the house, which they reference as a bungalow, and he says, oh, she's got my coat. And he sort of pauses and thinks, oh, that'll be a good excuse for me to go over there the next day. So he goes over the next day, and he goes up the door, and a middle-aged woman answers, and he's here to see the woman they dance with. She's really upset, but brings him in. She says, she died a year ago yesterday.
Wow.
And he just couldn't believe it. And he said, I took her out, and we went dancing. She finally said, all right, I'll tell you where she's buried, over in Evergreen. So he goes over there, and as he walks up to her gravestone, he sees his sport coat draped over the gravestone.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is an internationally regionalized story.
There was it Don Shelley, the longtime Tucson Citizen columnist, as I recall, did a column about the Phantom Hitchhiker.
Right, and that's what I was sort of referencing on that. And he, like he said, he wanted to make a point. So all this folklore starts to blend in and probably support and add to historic haunted places in Tucson. And I thought I would there are a couple of them that I try to prioritize in being a history type.
Okay.
El Tiradito, and probably lots of people have gone to the Mexican restaurant El Minuto.
Yes.
Just to the south of it is El Tiradito. And this is so many different stories, but the one that's probably most accepted is Juan Olivares was killed by his father-in-law for having an affair with his mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tradition is that if you light a candle and it stays lit all night, you will get your wish the next day.
Mm.
And now it's become more if you have a health issue that will do that. And so, and other people have said, in fact, a woman that wrote a book about El Tiradito, she said that he sort of visited with her in a presence saying, you have to write a book to get my story out.
Wow.
So
people still go and light candles.
You can go down there all the time on that.
Yeah.
I think probably the most famous one is the Velasco home, which is on South Stone.
Velasco.
His name, the owner of the home was Carlos Velasco, and he was a very famous attorney in Tucson. And he started off, after working as his own store firm for a while, he started a newspaper called El Fronterizo. And this was sort of the first Mexican language newspaper in Tucson, and he was really an advocate for Mexican rights as things were changing living in Tucson. And when he died in 1914, then the house became apartments. And then the people that bought it in the early 70s and did a nice restoration job, they started seeing all kinds of strange things happen. Most interesting one was they saw a head floating around the ceiling with the shoulders. Everything else was an apparition. And anyway, this several times, and especially in the room where the printing press was. They printed the newspaper. And then they went to the Historical Society, and the strong reference, they said it was a dead ringer, bad pun, for Carlos Velasco. I brought you in a picture to take a look at.
Yeah.
So this is probably more covered. It's even referenced on hauntedplaces.com on a national website.
And what's at that location now, the Velasco House?
Well, I think it's offices and some other endeavors. Once in a while, it's on an open home tour.
Okay. You know, if you got time for another one, Santa Rita Hotel, do you want to do that one
real quickly? Santa Rita Hotel, I think, real quick, two of them, I'll just paraphrase.
Go ahead.
Santa Rita Hotel, which is no longer there, the last edition torn down about 10 years ago, but it was a gentleman by the name of Ferguson looking for his unfaithful wife, and he kills her in Tucson, goes back to his room, which was 822, and hangs himself there. He felt so bad about doing that, and he was afraid to go to hell, and he scares people with light and sound there. So I don't know, since the building's gone, if he's still there.
I don't even know what's at that location.
That's where the new TEP building is.
Oh, okay. Wow. I wonder if anybody in the new TEP building's reported any strange happenings.
That would be interesting.
Okay, I can take one more.
Okay. I think we have a wandering fighter pilot in the Boneyard at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base.
A what?
A wandering fighter pilot.
A wandering fighter pilot.
Dressed in clothes from World War II.
Huh.
And they think he's looking for his plane.
Wow.
And security people at night have gone out there with flashlights, and when they think they see something, the flashlight goes dead, and then even in their car, the Jeep lights go dead.
Wow. That kind of makes sense. I mean, you've got so many planes, and each plane's got a story, and so, you know, I kind of could buy into that one, I think.
Okay, and last little quick tab. Yeah. Modern languages at the university.
Oh, yeah.
I
spent 22 years in the basement there.
Okay,
I never saw the ghost.
And the reason that's haunted is because before they built the auditorium, yep, the woman was murdered, and she was dumped in a well. The auditorium is built on top.
Yeah, kind of spooky, I know.
It's all on haunted places are always tied with unfortunate tragedies and things of human endeavor.
All right, historian Ken Scoville, our contributor on history on the Buckmaster Show. And tomorrow, remember, the big boy arrives 10 a.m., Ken, at the historic train depot, then on view 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. over at the UP Union Pacific Yard. So they got an opportunity to see the train. All right, Ken, thank you.
Thank you.
Ken Scoville with us, the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, wrapping it up. We've got Dave Ramsey. I love Dave's show. I've been listening, become a real big fan. I like the way he handles people from all walks of life. Very respectful, very, very good. Very good program. All right, on behalf of Ken Scoville and Ray Allen, my fine engineer producer, we hope you have a great afternoon and evening.